Thousands of small businesses go out of existence each month. While there are many reasons that small businesses fail, seven recurring deadly patterns are common among small businesses that do not survive. This is the first mini video in a seven-part series that addresses these deadly patterns individually. We refer to them collectively as seven traps that kill small businesses. When a business is small, it's easy for the owners and management to slip into poor habits and sloppy practices that ultimately lead them into one or more of these traps. Unfortunately, these poor habits and sloppy practices don't evaporate simply because the business grows larger. Instead, growth amplifies them exponentially. So, for small business owners, it's vital to develop disciplined habits and practices from the very beginning. Otherwise, the company has a firm cap on how much or how fast it can grow. And beyond that, poor habits and sloppy practices are what cause us to end up in traps from which we cannot extricate ourselves. We begin with the deadliest trap of all. It's the trap of not honoring the king. Who is the king, you might ask? Well, we've all heard that cash is king. But for our purposes here, I want to modify that familiar saying. The truth is, the king in this instance is not cash, but cash flow. Businesses don't fail because they can't make a profit. Most often they fail because they run out of cash. And the reason they run out of cash is that they have not properly managed cash flow. Now, it's possible to stay in business with cash in the bank and still be headed for this trap. That's because not all cash is created equal. Cash on hand measures your solvency. Can you pay your bills? Can you honor your payroll? Can you maintain your inventory? But cash from operations, or shall we say, cash flow from operations, is a better indicator of your financial health. Just because you have enough cash on hand to pay your obligations does not mean that your business is healthy. Cash on hand can come from borrowing, selling of assets, or owner-invested funds. None of these measure whether the business is truly succeeding at what it was designed to achieve. Only cash flow from operations can answer that question. When it comes to cash management, there are five common mistakes among small business owners. I refer to them as the default strategy that the owner relies on to assess the company's health. The first is focusing primarily on how much money is in the bank. As we have noted, it's not so much the money in the bank, but where it comes from that determines the financial health of a company. Closely related to this first mistaken strategy is thinking that we are doing okay if we are paying our bills on time. Bills are operational expenses. If we are paying operational expenses with money that is anything other than operational income, our financial health is not okay, no matter how timely we are with our payments. A third mistake is to use the revenue stream as the primary measure of health. When I ask small business owners how they are doing financially, they frequently respond by citing their sales totals for the past month or past quarter. But sales revenues are an inadequate measure of financial health. For example, high sales income on low margin sales may mean that you are not profitable once your overall expenses are factored in. Or if you are profitable, your level of profitability may not be sufficient to provide the capital you need to invest in growth and expansion of your business. A fourth mistake is trusting our quote-unquote sixth sense as to how well we are doing. Not that I dismiss the importance of our sixth sense. It often serves us well in business as in life. But with our very survival riding on cash flow, it's far too risky to leave our assessment of the company's financial health merely to a hunch or an overall sense of how things are going. Numbers are always reliable. Hunches are not. The fifth mistake is assuming that the bottom line on the profit and loss statement is all that we need to know. As a tool for assessing financial health, the bottom line is certainly more useful than the other strategies that we have just surveyed, but net profit does not always adequately reflect our true financial health. This is because the bottom line of the profit and loss statement is based on total income to the business versus total expenses. But not all P&L transactions entail the movement of cash. For example, writing off depreciation or bad debt adversely affects the net profit on the P&L, yet neither of these transactions changes the company's cash balance. Moreover, the P&L statement itself does not capture every cash transaction. If you buy a vehicle, the transaction is handled primarily on the balance sheet, where one asset, cash, is exchanged for another asset, the vehicle. This outlay of cash is not reflected on the P&L. In a similar fashion, payments that you make on loans or credit cards are reflected on the balance sheet, not the P&L. As a result, there is no necessary correlation between your net profit and the change in your cash position. It's possible to be profitable in terms of the P&L, but be hemorrhaging cash because of transactions only captured on the balance sheet. On the other hand, a company can have a low profit level, but a very substantial increase in its cash position. This can occur, for instance, if the P&L reflects losses incurred on the sale of a major asset, or write-offs for damaged or obsolete inventory, depreciation, depletion, or bad debts. Since these are not cash transactions, they depress profitability but leave cash flow untouched. To return to our earlier point, to keep your doors open, you must be solvent. But because of the limitations that we have just listed, the bottom line of your P&L cannot tell you whether or not you are solvent. It can't even tell you the degree to which cash flow is contributing to your solvency or insolvency. Thus, while the P&L bottom line is a singular indicator of profitability, it is not a reliable indicator of cash flow. And because it does not fully reflect cash flow from operations, it is an inadequate measure of company health. So, where do you go to determine financial health? The answer is to turn to a third financial statement called the Statement of Cash Flows. Many small business owners, and especially first-time entrepreneurs, are prone to neglect this statement, devoting their attention entirely to the P&L statement and the balance sheet. In many ways, however, the Statement of Cash Flows is the most important financial statement for small business owners to consult in determining the ongoing health of their business. There are three sections to the Statement of Cash Flows: Cash Flow from Operations, or CFO, Cash Flow from Investing, CFI, and Cash Flow from Financing, CFF. The one section that should interest you most as a business owner is the CFO, Cash Flow from Operations. It's also sometimes designated by the letters OCF, or Operating Cash Flow. The CFO is the only place on the financial statement that can tell you whether your core business is profitable. The CFO reflects cash inflow resulting from the sale of goods or services, customer payments on outstanding invoices, interest collected on deposits and bonds, dividends on investments, and rebates and refunds on goods purchased. It also captures the cash outflow generated by payments to employees and vendors, taxes, fees, and fines paid to the government, refunds made to customers, and interest payments to creditors. Not reflected in these CFO transactions, however, are such things as the sale or redemption of stock, purchase of properties, stocks or bonds for investment, the payment of dividends, or loans which the company either undertakes or guarantees. These transactions all impact the company's cash position, but they are not included in the CFO because they are not direct contributors to either the revenue or the expense related to operations. This is why the CFO is so important as a barometer of the company's health. It includes only income and outlays that are germane to the company's core business and ignores all other movements of cash. Since it is so vital to monitor your cash from operations, how do you determine what it is? If you use the services of a CPA, he or she will include a statement of cash flows as part of a full financial statement. Or if you're using accounting software such as QuickBooks, Peachtree, or Microsoft Accounting, the software will generate a statement of cash flows for you. Software packages such as these follow broadly established accounting standards. For quite some time, these standards have included interest income, dividends, and interest expenses in the calculation of cash flow from operations. Yet, in one sense, dividends and interest income do not represent revenue from operations. That is, they are not revenue generated by the activities of your core business. So to see the true profitability of your core business, subtract any dividends or interest income from your net cash flow. Many one-person startups keep their books initially on spreadsheets. If that's your approach to keeping your books, how can you determine your CFO? You can make a rough estimate of it with this formula. Starting with your net profit from the P&L, add any depreciation that you have booked for the accounting period under consideration. Then subtract from this total the amount of the company's income tax. And if you want to disregard interest income and dividends, subtract them too. The resulting number may differ slightly from the one which would be produced by an accounting software package, but for a micro business, it's precise enough. In our next video, we move to a second trap which destroys small businesses, namely, letting the business get bogged down in reactivity.